Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, you know what time it is. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. 8 days until the first round of the NFL draft next Thursday night. So yesterday afternoon, Howie tried to talk around what they're going to do, their plans, need, all that kind of stuff. Well, the mock drafters, they don't care what Howie says. They're going to do their mocks. And today we have one. This one's a seven-rounder. Every pick of the draft, The Athletic has it. Dane Brugler wrote it. Here's what he's got. Number one overall. I haven't seen anyone not have Caleb Williams number one for like 2 months. It's a lock. Caleb Williams number one to the Bears. Number two, Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU to the Commanders. Number three, the Patriots stay there and select Drake May, quarterback North Carolina. Number four, a common trade up that we see a lot in these mocks. J.J. McCarthy is the fourth pick. The Vikings move up in a trade with the Cardinals to get McCarthy. Number five, the Cardinals, after dropping back to 11, trade back up to get Marvin Harrison Jr. So there's the top five picks in the draft. Hugh, let's move our way down to number 22. The Philadelphia Eagles on the board, and they select Amarius Mims, offensive tackle from Georgia. The way it's written here, it says it would be an ideal landing spot for the inexperienced Mims. He's made just 8 starts in college, but can graduate from Stoutland University and become the tackle of the future. The Athens to Philadelphia pipeline remains fruitful. What do you think, Hugh? Amarius Mims, the 22nd pick.
21-year-old project. This is a guy that's probably not going to be coming in and asked to play a whole lot. You talk about 8 starts and being a first-round draft pick. I think that's pretty impressive. I don't have a problem with them taking offensive linemen, but I'm not going to lie, Joe. If you're taking a guy on a team that has a lot of needs as far as defensive needs, and we know we need to get some depth on that offensive line, I'm thinking more of a guy that can play immediately. This feels like a reach to me. It just feels like a little bit of a reach when you talk about the needs that this team has and getting a guy who has been, like you just pointed out, is going to be a project.
It feels like a luxury pick. I mean, it really it's a kind of pick a team that doesn't feel like they need anything take. So I have said a lot the last month when we've done these that I totally can understand the point of the offensive line.
Yes.
I do not think the right guard position is solidified. I think it's a major question mark. And if they took a tackle that could play guard for a year or two, play it well, and then moved back to tackle when Lane is done, I see the logic in that. This one's a different story. I mean, you'd almost be guaranteeing he doesn't play. You know what this almost feels like?
It
almost feels like Mailata, but in the first round. Like a guy that you see it, like when you look at him.
You see the benefit of taking him at that position.
But you got to wait a couple years.
Yeah, and right now, I would feel more comfortable. Like I said, I don't mind taking offensive linemen with that first pick, but I don't want to take somebody that's a project and I have to reach for. If there's other viable options out there, even I would not be mad at them if they felt on their draft board that there was nobody there that they feel that they could get at 22 to move back.
Well, yeah, sure. If you move back and take a player like this, it makes more sense. It would be – the Eagles have sent mixed messaging a lot this offseason. Like Saquon is a win-now move. Trading Hassan Reddick is not a win-now move.
Yeah.
This would not be a win-now move. This would be a franchise-down-the-line move, which, look, I don't know enough about this kid to tell you – he'll only start 8 times at college. For me to sit here and say he's going to be a bust, I don't know that. Maybe he'll be a premier tackle in 3 years. But that's 3 years from now. Kyle, I have disagreed with you on the idea that offensive line is a mistake. This would be like the extreme of the offensive line because the way everyone talks about him, he's probably not going to even help next season. He needs to learn that much.
Of all the mock drafts and all the people projected the Eagles to take at 22, this is by far the most idiotic. If they draft Amarius Mims, the 22nd overall pick in the draft, I am replacing the Fire Howie sign from across the studio on that bridge.
Does it count? Because I said a few weeks ago that I think I'm predicting it's going to come back. Does it count if you put a bet? Or is it like, did we set that
up? You know what? I think it does count because I am a very pro Howie guy.
I know you are.
This would be a complete 180 for me on how I view Howie Roseman if I'm the one that puts that sign back up. So, I mean, I would think, it's up to you to decide, I would think that would count. But no, this is, I mean, it's stupid. You know that I want a guy who can come in and play right away. I think we both agreed yesterday, and you just said it, that an offensive lineman at this spot in the draft, especially if he's not going to start, is a luxury pick.
It's a lot.
And I know you rarely associate that term with an offensive lineman. That's what we referred to Bijan as last year. The Eagles had that luxury last year. I don't think they have the luxury this year, especially of using the one pick in the draft that they have in the first round. On an offensive lineman, he's what you said, started eight games?
Eight games in
college.
That's
absurd. What are we talking about here? Dane Brugler, never do a mock draft again.
Or maybe he knows something. Maybe that's why he put him in there.
He better not know something.
Let's hope he does. And again, this kid might turn out to be a good offensive lineman. It's an odd position to be in if you're the Eagles, because the way I think you get people on board with the lineman is he plays guard for a year. He starts. He helps Saquon Barkley run for 1,500 yards. He helps Jalen Hurts stay upright. If this kid's just going to sit and watch, I mean, Stoutland University, it's not really a school. This is a football team. Like, we have to play actual games starting in September. So that one, again, like the Mailata thing worked amazingly well for them. He was taken late in the draft. Like, that's a totally different story. All right, so Amaris Mims is the pick here in this mock draft. All right, an update on a guy that I've brought up a lot because he's the guy I am staking my – I'm putting the flag in the ground. I want Cooper DeJean.
Coop.
Hugh, this came out this morning from Ian Rapoport. Cooper DeJean, a likely first-rounder who impressed the pro day, only had 4 days available for top 30 visits, right? He was hurt. He had to do his pro day later. So usually these kids go on these, like, all the visits, right? They go in their top 30 visits. They could visit a bunch of teams. He only had time for four. So he had to be selective on which teams he said he would go visit. He spent those days with the Steelers, the Seahawks, the Bills, and the Eagles. So I think there's obviously some mutual interest here. They wanted to bring him in, but yeah, he chose to come here for a visit.
Yeah, and that's probably because his agent's talking about it, and he's talking about some of the teams you could potentially play for right now. Because I'm pretty sure for Cooper, he wants to get on the field as quickly as possible. And you're looking at this team, looking at this Philadelphia Eagles team, I mean, there's two positions that you could likely play.
So here's what caught my eye as well this morning. So FanDuel has props you could bet on for different players, like where they'll get picked. And I'll just give you an example. Like, they have Brock Bowers, and his over-under for draft position is 12.5. So if you think he'll be picked before the 12th pick or below, whatever. Do you know where, Hugh, do you know where they have Cooper DeJean's number? Like, his draft spot, the number he'll get drafted as.
What's that?
They have it at 22.5. That is the Eagles' pick, right? 22.
Mm-hmm.
So the over-under on where Cooper DeJean will be picked in the draft is set right now at 22.5. You can either bet the over, which means he gets taken 23 or later, or the under, 22 or below. It's set right at the Eagles' pick.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting that they would do that. That would be the highest corner taken at that position since my man Lito. So, yeah, he's going to come in. He's going to play.
I'd be shocked if he'd get in the field as a rookie in some capacity. So that's the name I keep coming back to. He did visit the Eagles, and I think we're consensus here. This Amarius Mims pick is a little out of left field if that's what the Eagles
do. It's a little much. I mean, you know, like I said, I wouldn't mind an offensive line, but, yeah, not reaching for one.
Well, I'd like the idea of the offensive line that could help in the first year because they certainly may need help. Otherwise, we got a guy out there that, you know, redshirting for an entire year doesn't happen much anymore.
This ain't college. We need some players. We need some ballers.
Other than quarterback, does it happen for anybody? I mean, it's pretty rare.
It doesn't even have a quarterback really anymore.
Not much. Sometimes Jordan Love.
Yeah.
But you, hey, right?
But yeah, that was a serious redshirt.
Right, and because he was behind Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that like you don't have like Hall of Fame.
Doesn't it kind of pretend on just like where the team is at though in their window of contention? Like the Eagles are not in a position where you're taking a guy, especially like in this window, to sit behind somebody for a couple years.
Well,
with the amount of holes that they have on their team and the window they're in.
Let me bring up the Packers one. Obviously, that's a little different because quarterback's so important, right? And they got their heir apparent to Rodgers. But I remember seeing people were upset because Packers were good then, right? Rodgers was in the midst of – he won two MVPs after they drafted Love. So I remember people saying, like, what if they used that pick on another player? Maybe they would have won more. So it all factors in. Let's go to Dustin, who's in the Northeast, as we get ready for the Sixers and the Heat tonight. What's up, Dustin?
Dustin.
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, Dustin. What's up, pal?
Dude, I was listening to the morning show, and right when they ended their show, they had some guy from the West Coast coming on.
talking about the Sixers and talking about how it's going to be the same old routine. It's going to be the same old nonsense.
Was it an analyst? Was that Ryan Russillo?
It was an idiot. That's who it was. He had no idea what he's talking about. He's a basketball analyst that doesn't watch basketball because Joel Embiid's the best damn player in the league right now.
Well, here's what I'll say before you go on. I think Russillo does watch basketball. Let's not forget, though, Russillo's a Boston guy. You know that, right? Like, he lives out west now, but he's a Celtic guy. So you kind of, it comes through when he talks.
Well, getting back to what you're saying yesterday, Hugh, I think that this is the year where Joel Embiid is going to stand up to his kryptonite. I think he's going to handle Al Horford. I really think that this team is built so incredibly different than past years, and most importantly, the brains behind the operation is a lot smarter than it was in previous years. So this, when we see what happens tonight and everybody's freaking out, this team has been doing this all year. When the big fella plays, there's not a team in basketball that can run with us. And everybody, like, I agree with you, Hugh, too. I think Kelly Oubre is probably, that's probably the biggest, not the bias. If Kelly Oubre can go out and play the way he's been playing the past couple of months, there is not a team in the NBA that can stop us.
I would like to think that. Yeah, I do, man. It just all depends on what the big fella's going to do. And I think he's going to step up big tonight. I really believe that.
I'm right there with you. I am so fired up for this. I can't wait till we get to the championship and everybody's freaking out because we weren't supposed to be there. This is the healthiest Joel's been. We're going to see an MVP final candidate dominating. Not only tonight, there's nobody on the Knicks that can stop him. There ain't nobody on the Bucks that can stop him. There obviously is nobody on the Heat because he dominates the Bayou every time he plays them. And to be honest with you, I think we're going to play the Nuggets. Dude, he dominates Joker every – I don't care what anybody says. Joker is a good basketball player. The way Al Horford has shut down Joel Embiid in his career so far is the way Joel plays against the Joker. I really think that they are the best team in the league, and we're going to see it tonight. And we're – right now, nobody wants to play us. We're the hottest team in the league. We are hands down – the most on-fire team in the league.
Well, that's true. Eight in a row, Dustin, heading in. They're playing good. Dustin, we appreciate it. I hope you're right on all that. It would be fun if this turns into be the Joel Embiid redemption tour, right? Like, it's Jimmy, then it's Doc in the second round, it's Al Horford in the Celtics, and then
that would be pretty
the
awesome
matchup in the finals that would be the most fun is obviously Jokic, right? After all the back and forth between fans the last 2 years. I mean, that'd be incredible theater if he got to play Jokic in the finals. Now, our last caller did bring up that Joel has done pretty well in games against Jokic, but they all happen here, right? Doesn't Joel not happen to play in the Denver games in Denver? That would not, you'd have to play out there. He hasn't done that, right? Since like 2019, he hasn't played in Denver.
Yeah, because then, like, wasn't it last year they were supposed to play out there and he didn't play and the fans were kind of upset?
It was
about
this,
that.
Yeah, it was probably around December, well, early, January.
Was that this year?
Yeah, this
okay,
season.
Yeah, this year, yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if you remember, but our new afternoon host thinks that Denver is an unfair advantage.
Yeah, the altitude
should be abolished.
Yeah, they shouldn't be able to have teams.
Which, you know, so.
It has been an issue for certain people. I know Ryan Clark a bunch of years ago.
Did it bother you playing out there?
As far as not being able to breathe?
It just was uncomfortable.
It's like nothing medical. But the air was a little thinner. Yeah, it was a little tougher.
Is you Douglas okay? Yeah, I guess.
Did you have to do the oxygen mask on the sideline?
Yes. I mean, but the times I went to Denver, we got the brakes beat off us anyway, because I was an Eagle. I think it was in 98 we went to Denver. And, boy, they dragged us all up and down the field. So it really didn't make a difference how tired I was.
41-16, Broncos over Eagles.
You ain't had to. I mean, I'm pretty sure people remember that. You ain't had to bring up the actual
score. Now I'm mad all over again.
I just wanted to see what happened that day.
We got dragged.
Oh, my goodness. Any time I look at Bobby Hoying's numbers, my eyes start to hurt. 11 of 24, Bobby Hoying that day. 96 yards passing.
Well, guy.
We got dragged.
You got smashed by Bobby Brister?
Bobby Brister.
What are you doing?
No, what happened? Elway started. I think he started the game, didn't he?
I don't see him in the box score unless he came out before he threw a pass.
Man, and listen.
What did you
by
do?
By halftime, that game was over.
Terrell Davis ran over you.
Listen, and that's at the half. Like, I remember in that game at halftime, Terrell Davis was on the sideline drinking milkshake. I don't even know if it was a milkshake.
Maybe if Hugh decided he wanted to play the run. then Terrell Davis wouldn't have had
it. I was not at that point in my career. I was not really.
But guess who did have a sack? Hassan Hugh Douglas over here did have a sack.
He's all good with rushing the passer.
Yeah, one trick pony Douglas over here as Terrell Davis runs through the spot.
You're disappointed in the one sack that I had. But Terrell Davis really went for like 200 yards. Yeah, like 150 yards at the half.
Yeah, 168. And then they Vaughn Hebron came in and ran a little bit. They ran all over you guys.
And then they proceeded to run to the Super Bowl.
It was a little bit of a mismatch. I mean, the 98 Eagles against the 98 Broncos, that one seemed.
Shouldn't have been playing them cats, man.
You guys were 15.5 point underdogs. Wow. And you didn't even come close to covering. What are you doing?
Not even close. Not even. The bettors hated us that day. If they bet for us to cover. No.
So actually, as I look at the whole thing here, that you actually had garbage time points to get even to 41-16. Kyle, this game was 41-2 after three.
Bro, when I tell you, it was. The only thing I remember about that game is that young lady with them chaps on riding around the thing with that horse.
You remember that?
Yeah, because every time they scored, she would just take off and just roll. And people
were
going
crazy. So were you letting them score?
I wasn't letting them do anything.
I'm just asking.
I wasn't letting them do anything.
But you didn't mind.
They were scoring at will. It was like, what they say, gas up. It's time to gas up the Ferrari. Oh, man, they were unstoppable. They were a well-oiled machine. And Shannon was out there just talking trash.
You know who was probably on the sidelines laughing it up?
Who was that?
A teenage Kyle Shanahan helping out his dad.
Probably
was.
Like, oh, my gosh, Dad, this team is garbage.
Let's go to Drew and Fox Chase. What's up, Drew?
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Drew?
Yeah, man, you got racked in that game. I heard about it. I remember that game, man.
Yeah, I remember
that sack, but y'all got dragged up and down. You got took out the trash, bro.
We got dragged. I mean,
that was back in the day when bookies were around. I collected that day, actually, because I was a bookie then. But
I'm sure you had a lot of people taking the 15.5
laid
here.
The number against you and the Eagles.
Yeah, everybody was taking the Eagles. I collected, thank God. But, I mean, I wasn't happy about the how bad we got our, you know, what's beat.
Anyway, tonight with the
Sixers, anybody's not nervous. You're not a Philadelphia 76ers fan. It's a playoff game to me. I mean, you're going into the playoffs. You're always going to be nervous. I'm confident that we're going to win, but I'm still nervous either way. And Joe, you said something earlier about the Sixers did this and the Sixers did that. I see back when Ben Simmons actually would have shot a ball. Like I'm putting it on the player more than I'm putting it on the Sixers. You know, like, or James Harden wasn't so lazy.
Well,
like,
Drew,
like
I agree. I mean, you're right. Those players were not bums. They just, unfortunately, played like bums in big moments. And they should have been better. I mean, you're right, Drew. If Simmons just dunks the ball against the Hawks, they make the Eastern Conference Finals. If Harden doesn't quit last year, they probably make the Eastern Conference Finals. So, yeah, they just stunk.
Yeah. I got two more questions real quick. Hugh, the offensive line, I swear I might kill myself if they take an offensive lineman in the first round. They can address that in the second round. They showed they've done that before. I like Cooper DeJean. I'm very sold on Cooper DeJean. I think they should go out and get a Justin Simmons or a Stephon Gilmore even. I know he's a little up there in age. And double down the draft and get Cooper DeJean, especially if he's at 22 and then Mims is at 22. I think that's a no-brainer. He's gonna play.
No, I think
Cooper
so, too.
DeJean's going to play.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, if they take punt returns.
He could do everything. I mean, Drew, and there was actually, I was reading something, Drew, we appreciate the phone call, that if he had stayed at Iowa, I guess he had another year of eligibility, but he came into the draft, that they were thinking about playing him on offense and defense next year.
I mean, being a double threat.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, he's a great athlete. So, I mean, does it make you guys a little nervous that a former bookie is also a little nervous like I am? Like, bookies kind of have a sense how these things are to go. I mean, he was collecting on Hugh getting run all over by Terrell Davis all those years ago.
Like, I was the only person out there, but okay.
Well, you're the only one in the room.
I can poke about it.
I was, you know, it was kind of curious because I was wondering how the bookie game going now because since everybody's labeled to bet on apps, and whatnot,
I think
probably,
the bookie game is probably in trouble.
Yeah,
sound like he was talking in the past.
Yeah, past bookies.
No, and
unless you got Jontae Porter, maybe he'll help the bookies out.
Well, that right there, man. Come on, that's just ridiculous.
If you missed it, Jontae Porter, the Raptors player who was accused of betting on his own props and betting the under. He was banned today for life by the NBA.
24 years old, man.
Apparently, he bet on the Raptors to lose three times this season, and he lost the bet three times.
Yeah, he wasn't a good bettor.
No.
Definitely was not a good
bettor. He's also a dummy. I mean, like, these leagues are now, they got eyes everywhere.
Everywhere. And then, you know, my thing is this, with that story, Joe, was the juice worth the squeeze? Because at minimum, you know, you were a young player in the NBA. You're at minimum making $1 million a year. So let's say, you know, you may play for 5 years. I think in the fourth year you're vested, kind of like in the NFL. Like you have your pension and everything. Was the bets that you made worth everything that you lost?
No way.
Because you're banned for the rest of it. You're banned for life. You can't even play. That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah, and I know some of the sports books, they have limits on what you could put. So it's not like you could bet $10 million on an under for a dumb prop, right? Like there's a limit to that. So I my guess is it was not worth it for him. I mean, obviously his basketball career is over. And here's the thing, though. He's not going to be the last one. We keep seeing this. It pops up, I'd say, once a season in each sport. Calvin Ridley, that was the big one at first. Then
it feels like he's been made an example out of.
Oh, sure. I mean, and the leagues have to do this. I mean, I am all for making an example out of anyone in the league that is betting on their own games. We just can't have that. Let's go to Kyrie in West Philly. What's up, Kyrie?
Yo, what's up, y'all?
What's up, Kyrie?
What's going on? I just called in about Embiid, the Sixers or whatever. And I feel like Embiid, he's not it. Embiid is the heel. He's not that dog. Embiid, he get 25, 30 points with ease, and he got to elevate. And he's not trying to elevate. Maxie a dog. You know, Maxie got to put that work in to get his points. And the Sixers just have a bad, you know, track record of taking players. Ben Simmons shouldn't have been number one. Fultz, Bradley. I mean, they just don't want to get the right help. And you know, when they pick a number one player, you know, Embiid is a very good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but he need help. And the type of help that they getting for him is not it. You know, he needs one of them dogs that, you know, come early, come on time, work hard, you know, put that work in. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, them type of players don't want to come here and play. So, you know, I understand why you're nervous. You know, I mean, you have a reason to be nervous, but, you know, and B, you know, he's not it. You know what I mean? He's not a dog. He's a very, very good player, but he's going to need another dog or the right help, you know, to help the Sixers out.
So, well, that's been the reality so far in his career, Kyrie, man. We appreciate the phone call. I do think he's got a good one with him now in Maxie. And Tyree, we appreciate it.
Yeah, me too.
He's got one. Now, I think a big question in the next few weeks is that do they have enough around those two guys? Because, I mean, they have mostly role players. Even, was it Joel after the game on Sunday or Friday last week said Oubre's been their third best player? I mean, I like Kelly Oubre. Hugh's a bigger Oubre fan.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Kelly Oubre's, you don't think of him as the third best player on a championship team. So the question is, do they have enough? Like, do they have enough to win tonight?
Yeah. I think so.
They should. Do they have enough to win the title? Time will tell.
And I look at it like this too, Joe. You're going to have to guys are going to have to step up and probably be asked to do more than they've done in the past. And I think that you have the guys that if they're asked to do that, they could do that. They could potentially do that. I believe
it starts tonight. And I don't think our last caller is unfair that Joel hasn't shown to have that kind of dog in him.
And that's how most people feel about him. And that's the truth. I mean, I get it. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm being optimistic, and I know most people think I'm an idiot and I'm being crazy. But – because you have every right to feel the way that you feel because of what he's done in the past. And you've seen Joel, you've sat here and watched the games where Joel Embiid has came to play one night and then disappeared the next night. So I get all of that. But I just feel like it's different because I don't feel like his even though he might not be considered the leader, his teammates look at him as the leader. And they're going to be asking him to do a lot. And I think he's in a comfortable spot. Now, I don't think he was as comfortable as he was last year with James Harden being here, as he is now.
All right, let me throw it at you. I know you guys think this is like a blowout or whatever, but let's say this game is close tonight. A minute to go. Sixers down 2 points. Who do you want shooting the ball?
Oh, Joel Embiid has to shoot. He got the big fella. Got to be that guy.
I want the ball. I want the ball in Maxie's hands.
Oh, I think you're
I was thinking that.
The ball in Maxie's hands.
I was thinking that, Joe, but no, I got to be the big dog.
You want to go Maxie again, getting defended possibly by Jimmy Butler, or you want Embiid going against Bam Adebayo, who he owns?
I want the ball in Maxie's hands.
I think you are losing your mind.
I have a lot of information here that tells me this doesn't work out when the ball's in Joel's hands down the stretch of a playoff game. I want the ball in Maxie's
hands. Have you ever seen the ball in Joel's hands against Bam Adebayo?
Didn't they just lose to Heat 2 years ago?
Two years ago.
Right, I'm just, okay, you can have your scenario. I want the ball in Maxie's hands.
Do we not just dominate the Heat like when we played them last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Regular season.
Well, so then what are we talking about 2 years ago for? I'm thinking of the best matchup out there on the floor.
Maxey was amazing in that
game. Is Maxey against Jimmy Butler a better matchup than Embiid on Bam Adebayo? If you say yes, you're nuts.
I want the ball in Maxey's hands.
Losing it.
Down the stretch of the game. 215-592-9494. Or we can have it your way, and they'll just blow the doors off the Heat, and we don't have to worry about this. We'll come back, get your phone calls, and another update on Ask Out Trout. Mike Trout talked about his Angels' future. And speaking of nailing bets, this show yesterday nailed one that we gave out. All that and your phone calls right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Right, here's what we got tonight. Butler points over, Embiid over, Maxey over, and Tobias under. Just go FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two again. It's blasted. Up the alley, left center field. On the run, Jones to the wall. It's gone! JT Realmuto with a two-run home run, his third home run of the season, and the Phillies take the early 2-0 lead.
JT Realmuto got the party started
last night for the Phillies.
And he added to the Phillies' run total for the season, which, have you done your the tally, quick math, on how many runs left to reach your goal?
No, I have not.
Six like, per?
Got like 900 and, like what? That's 907, something like that.
Something like that. All right.
I'm pretty good at math.
Yeah, long way to go, but good night last night for the Phillies offense.
Wait a minute. Yeah, what's that? That's 900. No, is it 906?
So I think heading into yesterday, the Phillies would have needed to score 912 runs the rest of the season for you to win the bet. So they got five. You're right. 907.
Yeah, 907. Yeah, I was okay. Yeah.
Good math.
Look at me getting it right the first time and then blowing it the second.
Here's some other good math. A 4-1 Dinger Tuesday hit for this show. We gave out a Dinger Tuesday prop yesterday over at FanDuel. We took JT Realmuto to hit a home run, Kyle and I, at 4-1, and JT delivered early first inning. Boom. So that's our first Dinger Tuesday hit of the year. I think last year our first one was
Josh Harrison.
It was. I didn't believe that was his only home run as a Philly.
It might have been.
Yeah, I remember that.
In Chicago. I believe it was against the White Sox who come in here.
Revenge
next game. And it was around this time of the season. It was April. It was early in the year.
That means we have a very low bar to clear.
We do. We'll see if we get it another. But good hit yesterday, obviously, for JT and for us on Dinger Tuesday. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to an update on Ask Out Trout here, as the Phillies, obviously, you know, Hughes' prediction aside of six runs a game for the season, could use another bat. What's Mike saying about his future in Los Angeles? We'll get to that. Let's go back to the phone lines here. We have Cowboy Jimmy. Is that what he is? He's Cowboy Jimmy. What's up, Cowboy Jimmy?
Well, I know that Kyle is afraid of Jimmy's, so I'll be Cowboy Jimmy for today.
Okay.
And, if you had Jimmy Harden still playing, yeah, I could think the Sixers would win, but they're not. They're not going anywhere. But
you're saying if they had James Harden in a big game, they'd win it? Have we watched the same James Harden?
If we had Jimmy Harden playing, then I would feel more confident.
Okay.
But come on now. But there is a silver lining. There's a silver lining to all of this. Tobias Harris will be gone in one more, maybe two more games, and that'll be it. The Tobias Harris debacle will be over, and then we can look forward to the future.
Well, so I'm not looking forward to this playoff run ending anytime soon. I am looking forward to the end of Tobias.
No, we got
to
keep this going for a while.
Yeah, but the end of Tobias, I mean, that's going to be a good day.
It's not going anywhere. We're done. I need some encouragement. This Cowboy pickup, this running back, this bum.
Nobody cares. I mean,
what have I done to deserve this?
I need some encouragement, Joe. Come on, Joe. Give me some encouragement. Tell me everything is going to be okay. Please.
No. How's
I don't
that
give
sound?
A shit.
Done. Hung up. On.
Did he ask for someone like to feel good about somebody they picked?
But the Cowboys.
Oh no, we're not doing that. That's what the kids call nasty work. We ain't doing that. No nasty work.
I forgot Royce Freeman even existed.
Royce Freeman, the former Bear? That's who they signed?
Wow.
Texas football player?
What are they doing down there?
They're trying to just stay alive. I don't know.
Has Jerry Jones actually be like, has he finally become senile?
They're having one of the worst offseasons in the league.
And like, I'm pretty sure ever.
That's a conversation to be had.
Like, if Sirianni can just keep this thing afloat, they should win the division next year. I mean, the Cowboys are, they just, Royce Freeman.
Did you hear, so Stephen Jones, by the way, now that we're on the subject, Stephen Jones was asked about the Cowboys' quiet offseason. He's like, well, you know, when you have to pay guys like Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, like, it makes it tough. I'm like, well, hold on. Have they paid Dak Prescott? No. Have they paid CeeDee Lamb? No. Have they paid Micah Parsons? So what are they doing?
So I had the wrong player, by the way. I was thinking of Donta Foreman. Royce Freeman's even
Royce
worse
Freeman's
than that guy.
Even, yeah, he's even more.
Guy averages 3.8 yards a carry.
He's in a bad spot.
You find him off the street. This is the, this is the doing a running back?
And who was that talking about earlier in the year that the Giants, we were going to take a backseat to the Giants? Seriously?
Who said that? Brandon Marshall.
Brandon said that. Yeah, we're not taking a backseat to the Giants.
Look, the NFC is going to be fascinating next season.
Did anybody see when Daniel Jones said he feels like he's the best quarterback in the league or something like that? Did he say it was the best?
The Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
The one that plays in New York?
Yeah.
Like, best quarterback in what league?
He said something to that effect. He said something. I wasn't mad at him for saying it, but I was like, boy, you're kind of off on that one.
Well, he's not even good. I'm confused at his assertion.
I mean, you're supposed to think that you're pretty good. But you're not.
No, I think sports would be better if bad players recognized they were bad. Like, Daniel Jones can't be out here saying he's the best quarterback in the league. He stinks.
He said something to that effect. Let me look and see this.
All right, well, he's getting replaced when they draft a
Jones
new quarterback
said,
anyway.
He said with a smile when asked if he thought he was the best quarterback for the team to start. Oh, the best quarterback for the team to start.
Well, okay.
My story was better.
I liked yours better. It certainly gave me something to riff on, and it was funny. Yeah, let's go to Frank in Sewell. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Frank. What are you thinking?
Well, here we go. I'm hoping it's not here we go again. I got my nice Sixers polo on today. I'm working. I'm going to go watch the game maybe later at Chickie's. I'm afraid that here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the playoff Joel. I'm afraid that if Maxey doesn't have a great game and because he's not going to be facing a one-on-one situation. He's going to be facing – I mean, yes, Spoelstra is a good defensive coach. I mean, if they put Joel into a funk, and he's not totally healed. These people calling up saying – He's totally healed. How's he totally healed? He's got a brace on that looks like it's wider than his waist. And I mean, then he had to sit out two games in the last week, including an important end of the season game. He's not healthy. Let's be real. He's the same. He's coming in almost the same as close to the same as he does every playoff, which isn't good health wise. And he's going to have double and triple teams. And if he has a bad game and Maxey don't have a great game, they could easily lose this game. I'm not worried about Butler. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, the way you kind of broke it down, yeah. I mean, if Joel doesn't play like an MVP and these role players don't hit their shots, they can absolutely lose. I mean, the way some people have talked about this game, Frank, it's as if the Sixers are 20-point favorites. No, it's not. They should win. They're favorites, and I think they have a better roster from top to bottom. But until I see them do something great in the playoffs, I'm always going to have some nervousness.
I mean, this might be the biggest game of Joel's career tonight. To be honest with you, if he comes out and throws in 17 points and 6 turnovers, I mean, that's a bad sign again.
Oh, it's a dramatically bad, Frank, of course. I mean, it is because, you know what? Here's what's happened again, Frank, and enjoy the game tonight and hope it all works out and everyone is thrilled tomorrow and this team's, you know, begins their run. Here's what's happened. We were joking earlier about talking ourselves into the Reddick trade, which I have not done. Kyle hasn't. Someone here has talked themselves fully into the Reddick trade. But you know what else we've done over the last month? We've talked ourselves back into the Sixers. We've done it.
Yes, we have.
We've done it.
Which is not a bad thing. Because a lot of times, Joe, we shouldn't live in the past. We shouldn't hold things against, especially when it comes to professional athletes who've had, you know, in the past bad track records. But I think the one saving grace for Joel Embiid right now is the fact that he's healthy. He's been healthy in a long time.
So he is healthy. But our last caller made a good point. He's still wearing a brace. He did have to come out. He did hobble around on Friday night. Yeah. I always think healthy is a relative term with Joel Embiid. Like, he's healthy for he could play, but he's never, like, he never seems to have extended periods where he's perfectly healthy.
Well, nobody's that. I look at it like this, and I'm going to ask you, is this safe to say? He's healthier now than he has been at any other point in this playoff series in the last couple of years.
Well, sometimes he goes in the playoffs healthy, and then within 3 games he gets hurt. So yes and no, right? He's not – I don't worry about him being hobbled tonight. I don't worry about that. But he's also walked in the playoffs healthy before, just to get hurt early in the postseason. Let me ask you one question, because you brought up we live in the past too much. Why do we do that with everything else in life, but I'm not allowed to do it with the Sixers?
Because it's too painful.
If you go to a restaurant and you get stomach poisoning, would you go back? Or would you say, Joe, that's the past?
Because it's too painful. And I think that's a crutch. A lot of times as sports fans, we do tend to use that as a crutch. Because, I can't root for this team. Because you hear it a lot. Oh, I can't root for them because what they did to me last year. Hell, you still dating that girl that cheated on you last year, so why not still root for the team? And they do as bad as she did. I mean, what's the difference? Or him, not to be a chauvinist here, or him, it's the same thing.
I don't know. I think some people might say that Game 7 against the Hawks was worse than anything, any significant
bad.
Other would ever
it, do. It was bad. It was bad. But we make decisions based on stuff like that all the time. So I just feel like, man, get a dude a chance until he proves you wrong. And I know that's asking a lot for a lot of people who have been, you know, a part of the trusted process and been through this a whole lot before, been through this thing a lot before. But I feel like it's fair in this situation to give the big fella a little bit of grace while you just wave me off.
Little bit of grace? No. Our last caller said it. That was a big take. Biggest game of his career? I mean, it is a play-in game.
That sounded like an Elliott Shore Parks.
A good one. I don't know if
like mid-season Eagles Packers biggest game of Jalen Hurts' career. Boom.
Week one, guys. Week one in
Brazil.
That's the
biggest game of Jalen Hurts'
career. It's going to be a great start to the season, though. That does, but that one right there does not sound like hyperbole.
What, the Packers Eagles?
Yeah, that don't sound like
biggest hyperbole. Game of Hurts' career. He's playing the Super Bowl.
Nah, I'm just saying, as far as the biggest game of the season. Well, I guess
ooh, that you should hold that take for week one. That's a darn good one. Biggest game of the season this week.
That is sarcasm.
No sarcasm. Kyle, I'm serious. He should hold that one. It's a good take.
I can't stand neither one of you guys today, for real.
I'm not being sarcastic.
We're being dead serious.
Hold it.
I can't stand neither one of you guys.
And Hugh Douglas just keeps working.
Y'all make me sick.
The funny part is, I'm not kidding. You got to hold that take for week one. All right. Our Twitter question today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. There's a lot of polls up today. I actually like this result. Is tonight a legacy game for Joel Embiid? 69% say yes. Now, I'm going to get into the head of the voters here. This is people voting yes because they think they're going to win and they want to spin the Joel legacy forward.
Yes.
Tonight he changes his legacy.
Yes.
I'm going to need to see a little bit more before playing against the Miami Heat.
But it starts tonight, though, Joe.
Sure.
Starts tonight. And I think that's what we need to do. I think we need to support the big fella.
Everyone's supporting him. Just a little bit of, you know.
A trepidation. I get it.
A little bit of trepidation.
A little bit.
I think the way Kyle presented earlier is the right thing. It's only a legacy game if they lose. If they win, it's just
another game, just another process, another step in the process towards your legacy.
Then we start moving on, and then a big game against the Knicks in a week and
I'll
a half will
that.
Be a big one, and then the Bucks after that. Sure, then we'll kind of move forward.
I'll take that.
All right, have you talked yourself into the Eagles trade of Hassan Reddick? Hugh is voting yes. The rest of us are voting no. 71% no on talking yourself into the Reddick deal. Like clearly, Howie Roseman and the Eagles have tried to do yesterday. That was just. They were just flat out.
He did
rude.
Himself no favors talking to Uram. Uram getting upset with Uram for asking the question. He did himself no favors with that.
Kyle, it's the first time I can remember Howie being agitated in a press conference in a long time. He's usually very good at those.
Yeah, I mean he was a little jokey yesterday too.
Yeah, really.
But like, rarely do you see him get like ruffled because I don't know. Does that come down to like him being unprepared for the question? Usually, I feel like he's prepped by Bob or whoever.
Sure.
Of whatever questions are going to come. Maybe that was one they missed. Like they think that the fire had sort of died out after weeks
maybe
of
that's
the trade.
What he, that's
and
what
this
he thought.
Was going to be more draft focused. Like I just maybe he wasn't ready for it to be presented to him the way it was.
Or did it just hit a nerve?
It's probably a little bit.
Sometimes composed people when you hit them with a nerve, they respond. So I just wonder my theory is he doesn't really love the trade he made, and it came out yesterday when he basically yelled at Dave Uren. Let's go to Carl.
He did wax a little poetic, too, though, about Hassan. But, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, earlier, right. The first question, he was not annoyed. Then the follow-up, he got annoyed. Let's go to Carl, and then we'll give an update on Ask Al Trout, because Mike Trout is literally being asked about his future with the Angels. Carl's in Maple Shade. Hey, Carl.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon to you.
Carl, good afternoon, buddy. What are you thinking?
Well, the problem that I have with this ownership right now, mm-hmm. is I think they're too far involved.
The Eagles' ownership.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the ownership has turned into Jeffrey Lurie. You know, a Jerry Lurie.
Like a Jerry Jones kind of thing.
Oh, my God, I got five. What, is he going to back out and let his people who are smarter than him do the job? I mean, I think he's too far in deep into what is going on to run an organization.
I think he's very involved, Carl. I mean, now, here's the thing. If it works and they win, we don't care. If it doesn't work and they don't win, then we complain about it.
It's not going to work that way. It don't work that way. Owners bring in people that are the best. You're not better than them.
Where do you come down on Jeff Lurie's of involvement in decision making here?
Oh, yeah. I think he's 100% involved.
Of course he is. Should he be?
Yeah. Do I think he should be? I mean, he's made a ton of money by being involved with the decision, so I would say yes.
Yeah. You can make money. You can make money being a bum. You run an NFL team. Think of David Tepper. He's throwing drinks on people, making money.
Yeah, think about your boy Tobias Harris and all the money that he's made from the Sixers.
Yeah, we didn't have to talk about him in that light today.
Well, the game's coming up tonight.
We could talk about him in a basketball light, but not the fact
that we will do that. Business the same game parlay.
Hold on a second. If he goes 0-7 tonight, you think we're not talking about his money? Of course we are.
Well, if he goes, he's not going to go over.
Yeah, we're not going to be very impressed by the money he's made tomorrow if he goes.
He's
over
not going.
He better not shoot seven times tonight. I mean, I forget 0-7.
Well, you better hope not. Just wait till the same game parlay we get cooked up.
You know what? We got a good one cooked up. All right, Carl, what do you think? You confident tonight?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Put your money on it.
Well, you know what? Maybe right. Carl, maybe I will. I'm going to do that. Bet on the Sixers tonight,
Carl. Put your money on it, man. I make the least amount of bets I can. But when I see one that's out there, I go for it.
So would you lay the 5.5, Carl? You're laying it tonight?
I'm going for it, man.
Carl's laying the 5.5.
Sounds like he's excited.
He's confident. Carl, we appreciate it. You know what? I think Carl set us up there. Look, we hit yesterday, right? We hit on FanDuel yesterday with JT Realmuto. Why don't we take some of that winning? Let's put together a little same-game parlay here, Hugh, for tonight.
I'm with the parlay.
All right. Now, I'm a little nervous, but I'm willing to go along with you guys. You guys want to lay the number? We lay in 5.5 tonight?
Of course, dude. I'd give you the alternate Kyle Quinn spread.
No.
What's the alternate Kyle Quinn spread?
Sixers minus 9.5.
No, stop. You guys are living in La La Land.
I'm not willing to go there.
This is a team that routinely chokes away.
Wait till we give you our next legs.
Winning in games, and you want me to lay 9.5 against Butler?
Hugh and I have already plotted to commandeer the same game parlay.
I will lay the 5.5. Put my foot down on the 5.5. All right, where are we going next? What are we doing? You want to go
Tobias Harris. How many points?
Over.
I'm going definitely whatever it is over.
He's at 14.5. Over.
I'm over.
Smash it.
I'm going over.
Why don't you just take the money and throw it out the window?
No, I'm just telling you, this is how I feel today. I'm not about to let all the negative stuff you said about me today, that's not going to deter me.
We're not going to be bullied by you today, Joe.
I'm not going to be bullied by you, Joe Giglio.
You and I are ganging up for this parlay. You ready for mine?
Go ahead.
Jimmy Butler under points.
So Butler's going under, and Tobias Harris is going over.
This is a bold parlay that probably only one that'll play it is me and Kyle.
All right, we got Butler under, Tobias over, Sixers minus 5.5. Any other genius predictions for you two?
Ooh,
the peanut gallery here? Over Oubre? Over Oubre.
Oh, I'll go. Say it with your chest. Yeah, I'll go over Oubre.
Okay.
These are my peoples. Yes. These are my peoples. Yeah. Why not? Because all of these bets are $2 bets for me. I got $2. I got two.
All
big
right.
Spender.
Anything else that we like here?
Nice.
I got under Jimmy Butler, over Tobias, over Oubre, Sixers minus the 5.5. Is that the parlay?
We'll let you have a leg now.
All right. It's plus 8. It's plus 874. We got to juice this thing up. You guys, as crazy as you went, you didn't go crazy enough. All right, well, I'm going to go under the total then. If the Sixers are going to win by 6 points, and obviously you got Tobias going up, Jimmy's going under his number. Let's go under for the game. All right, this is a 16-1 parlay. All right, here it is, 16-1. Sixers minus 5.5. Tobias over 14.5 points, which is the wildest leg of any parlay you'll see today. Butler under 23.5. Kelly Oubre over 13.5, under for the total of 208, a 105-97 victory for the Sixers. All right, how's that sound? 105-97, you guys like that number?
I like it. I'll go with it.
That's the final score.
Smash.
Yep. 105-97. Oh.